welcome to another episode of Breaking the Capsule. Here we open the capsule on several health conditions and concerns that may help you gain knowledge to better your well-being. How's it going, Nan?
It's pretty good. Finished work on time today, which is pretty good. Actually, 10 minutes early. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Got nothing to do to at the end, so just leave. We leave on time.
Nice. The dream to finish on time.
Yep.
Nice. How's you? Coaching? Just had a day off today, so just chilled.
Coaching is good. Haven't lost again. We won 14-0 this week.
14-0. No mercy.
Yeah, no mercy. Like, you know, strike first, strike hard. No mercy. That's pretty much it. Mm-hmm. That's how I teach the kids. Do you do much on the weekend?
Not too much. Well, I work Saturday, but Sunday I went up to the Pinnacles.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Have you been up there before or?
Nah, never.
No. It's a nice drive up there. And then it's interesting to see the landscape because you're basically like flatland. And then suddenly there's all these like erected structures.
Oh, yeah.
And they're all like just long, straight. Yeah. And just sort of pop out of the ground. And
yeah.
There's so many of them as well.
Oh, damn. That's the dream, isn't it?
And there's just, all sorts of shapes, sizes. I mean, they're all like one pretty similar shape. But yeah, no, there were...
I should go there, hey.
Yeah, check it out. It's definitely... Make a day trip out of it.
Yep. Check out all those rocks. Okay, so... So I guess those shapes remind you of something?
I guess following on from last week's topic, we can discuss erectile dysfunction.
Yes. Yeah. Since I didn't have sex ed, so I might as well do a series of sex educations for everyone.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, so erectile dysfunction is it's not an uncommon thing. It's a pretty common thing. People should probably heard of it for quite often. Basically, it's the inability to get or keep an erection firm enough to have sexual intercourse. It's sometimes referred to as impotence, even though we don't use that terms as common nowadays. So before we go into the condition itself, let's talk a bit about the penis. So it's made up of the two chambers called the corpora cavernosa, which run the length of the organs and contains a maze of blood vessels shaped like cavernous space, like a sponge, like, you know, sponge to clean your cutleries and stuff.
SpongeBob, SquarePants.
Exactly. Yep. And then you got Patrick somewhere. and then you got the urethra, which is the channels for urine and the sperm, which run along the underside of the corpora cavernosa. And then you got the erectile tissue, which surrounds the urethra. They got two main arteries and several veins and nerve. And then we've got the shaft, which is the longest part of the penis. The head, or we call it the glans, which is at the end of the shaft. And then we got the meatus, or the opening at the tip of the head where the urine and the semen are discharged. So how does an erection occur? When the blood vessels of the corpora cavernosa relax and open up, blood just rush into it and fill all the cavities inside the arteries there. The blood then get trapped under the high pressures, creating an erection. So an erection begins with a sensory and mental stimulations during sexual arousal. Nerve message begin to stimulate the penis. The impulses from the brain and local nerve cause the muscles of the corpora cavernosa to relax, and then blood flow in and fill the open spaces. The blood create pressures in the corpora cavernosa, making the penis expand and creating an erection. The tunica albuginae, which is the membrane surrounding the corpora cavernosa, help to trap the blood in the corpora cavernosa, sustaining the erection. So erection is reversed when the muscle in the penis contract and stop the inflow of the blood and opening outflow channels.
Cool. And you want to chuck in a fun fact?
Oh, yeah. This is something that I've been... it's sort of a misunderstanding for me. I don't know about other people, but the penis is actually not a muscle. You know, a lot of people call it a love muscle, but it's actually not a muscle. That's why you cannot move it very much when it's erect, you know, if you know what I mean. The penis is kind of like a sponge, like we, as we said. So, yes, no way. The anatomy of it is not similar at all to a muscle. And there's another. Have you heard of, you know, if you want to have a big foot size, you've got small penis, something like that?
Oh, if you have big feet.
Yeah,
big feet. You've got a big penis. Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So it's actually not true, which is, I mean, I assume so.
This isn't personal experience talking.
No, don't think so. So the average penis length in this group, in this study, that's done by this like British Journal of Urology International, is 13 centimeter with the, and their shoe size is about, British size is 9, which is 43 European size. So it's pretty, what's that, you know.
Australian shoe size 9.
8? I think it's 8.
Okay.
Yeah, and then they pretty much don't find any like link between the shoe size and penis length in this study. Even though it's the sample is quite small, it's only 104 people. But, you know.
Yeah, that is quite a relatively small group, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting.
Yep.
Alrighty, so let's go on. And so we'll talk about how does ejaculation occur. So sexual stimulation and friction provides the impulses that are delivered to the spinal cord and into the brain. So ejaculation is a reflex action and it's controlled by the central nervous system. It's triggered when the sexual act reaches a critical level of excitement, and this has two phases. So in the first phase, the vas deferens, the tubes that store and transport sperm from the testes, they contract and then they squeeze the sperm towards the base of the penis and the prostate gland, and seminal vesicles release secretions to make semen. And at this stage, the ejaculation is unstoppable. It's kind of like a law of motion. In the second phase, the muscles at the base of the penis contract every 0.8 seconds and force the semen out of the penis in up to 5 spurts. So it's estimated erectile dysfunction affects about 1 million men in Australia, and it's more common in older men. So ED can have a range of causes, and both physical and psychological. In terms of physical factors, these can include general aging, health problems that affect your nerves. So you can have, like, say, spinal cord injury, multiple sclerosis, diabetes, surgery that may affect the pelvic area or spinal cord. So such as prostate or bowel surgery, Parkinson's disease, and Alzheimer's disease. Other factors also include reduced blood flow to the penis. So this can be caused by atherosclerosis, which is the clogging of the arteries. Conditions like prostate disease or even high blood pressure, having an underactive thyroid gland, some cardiovascular diseases, obesity or sleep disorders, consumption of alcohol and including some medications, smoking or substance abuse as well, which is why it's very important that if you do experience it and you are on medications, then have a chat with your pharmacist or your treating doctor. Just in case it is the medications. Psychological factors can also include unresolved problems, conflicts or issues within a sexual and emotional relationship, anxiety about sexual performance. This is usually more common at the start of a new relationship, especially if the man's had previous problems with sexual performance. Stress, which it's literally the cause of everything, I guess.
Yep.
And also problems with mental health. So this would include, like, say, depression. Yep. So I guess we're not going to be experts on relationship advice, but basically talking helps. Talk your way through everything and hopefully everything resolves.
Yep, definitely. I suppose, like, with depression as well, or basically, like, on the mental health side or erectile dysfunction, it's good to go to, like, a counsel for relationship counsel if the sexual relationship is a problem, because, you know, it can help and it will hopefully fix it up for you as well. Okay, let's start with the treatment. So there are many options out there for treatments of erectile dysfunctions. I'm sure that most people have heard of this pill called Viagra. It's pretty common. It's one of the most very popular medications to help treating erectile dysfunction. So in terms of the tablets options, we got the Viagra, which is Sildenafil. We got Tadalafil, brand name is Cialis. Vardenafil, which is Levitra. Avenafil, Stendra, which is quite new as well. They work very similar by it related to the nitric oxide mechanism inside your body, which help relax the muscle in the penis and allow the penis to become erect by increasing the blood flow. So this can increase both the numbers and duration of erections. However, they are not aphrodisiacs and do not increase libido. So just keep that in mind. And they do not work all the time. So each of them have different, like, duration of actions. For example, Viagra can last between 2 to 3 hours. Cialis, I think, is the longest acting one. They last about 3 days. And then the others about between 4 to 8 hours or in between. Another option is called Alprostadil. A brand name for it is can be Cavraject, Edex, Muse. It's another medication that can be used to treat ED. It can be taken as a suppository or a self-injection at the base of the site of the penis. And the third one that you can use is testosterone therapy that can be recommended if you have low level of testosterone, which can help with increased libidos and the ability to get an erected penis as well.
Oh, I'm sensing it's time for another fun fact.
Oh, yeah? Do you know that you can actually break your penis?
Oh, God. Oh, no. How?
Well, you know, like, same as how you break any sticks, pretty much.
God.
if it's violently twisted when it's erected, it can break, like, yeah. There are no bones in penis, which is irony. But the tube that fill with the blood during an erection can bust. And then blood will pour out of them inside the penis and cause, like, very painful and swollen penis. Damage during sex, especially when the partner is on top, is responsible for about 1/3 of all the cases. So, yeah, just be careful. You know, have fun, but not too crazy, I suppose.
Yeah, safe sex in all sense of the word.
Yep, definitely.
Alrighty, I'll go through the last little bit, which is also using a vacuum pump. So this treatment uses the creation of a vacuum to stimulate an erection. Blood is drawn into the penis as the device is used, and this leads to the erection. A vacuum pump device consists of a few different components. So it's got the plastic tube, which you place over your penis, a pump, which works to create the vacuum by drawing air out of the plastic tube, and an elastic ring, which you can move to the base of the penis as you remove the plastic tube. Now, the elastic ring functions to maintain the erection, holding the blood in the penis and preventing it from returning to circulation. And it can be left in there for 30 minutes. And then beyond this, it's also important to know that there are other surgical options. Usually it's surgery is usually last line in all sorts of cases, but that's all to discuss between you and your medical practitioner.
Yep.
There are two that are being used in Australia. So one of them is an inflatable option, which is the Titan. And this is a reservoir, which is placed in the abdomen, and it connects with the silicon tubing to two penile cylinders housing with the penis. So a pump is then pushed the solution from the reservoir to the cylinders and gives the penis, making it rigid. It's also worth knowing that the Titan implants are also MRI conditional and latex free. The second option is a permanently erect option, which is called the Genesis. And this is a malleable penile prosthesis, which is a very simple solution for patients with finger or hand dexterity issues, hand muscle fatigue, or limited reach and range of mobility. So whilst the penis remains erect, it can be moved around so that the patient can still, for example, go swimming. And these implants offer men, particularly those with severe or permanent erectile dysfunction, more of a long-term solution that does not require them to take tablets, use an external vacuum erection device, or inject. And I mean, for most men, this would be the solution that saves them much anxiety. And like you said, links back to depression and a lot of other conditions, I guess.
Yep, definitely. Yeah, so that's pretty much about erectile dysfunction in the capsule. Is as we already mentioned, is a quite common condition. People will generally get it toward the end. So, like, don't be ashamed. It's nothing wrong with you. It's just that's how it is. So, you know, see your health professionals. Have a chat with your partners as well, just to, you know, make sure everyone understand each other's and things will get resolved if there's any issues.
You should have the Shia LaBeouf meme, you know, just do it.
Just do it. Yep. I'll put that in the show note as well so they can just click on it.
Ah, yes.
Anyway, that's it for this week. If you have any questions, feel free to send us a message and follow us on our social medias. Otherwise, we shall see you guys next week.
See you then.
Bye.
All of the information provided on this podcast is for educational purposes only. If you have any questions, please see your healthcare professional.